The news about Peter Stauffer continues to generate reaction. The former MP for Sackville, Preston Chesicook, apologized Friday after a former NDP staffer accused him of trying to force kisses on her on two occasions. At a news conference on Friday, Stauffer said he had no intention to belittle or demean anyone, and he chalked it up to his gregarious behavior.
Everybody knows that I'm a hugger and touchy person in this regard. Everybody knows that. And if anyone feels that those actions in any way, shape, or form were untoward, then again, I regrettably apologize.
That's former MP Peter Stauffer. Since then, several other women have come forward on Twitter and to the Chronicle Herald to say they too faced harassment from Stauffer. Stauffer has responded directly to one of the accusations, telling the Chronicle Herald he didn't remember the incident. Well, it's becoming all too common to hear stories like this in the political world and many other workplaces. Gail Gachalian is a labor, employment, and human rights lawyer and a partner at Pink Larkin in Halifax. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Gail, what's your reaction when you hear an explanation like this, that there was no intention, that it's part of an outgoing personality?
Well, I think my reaction is that we all need to understand that sexual harassment law looks not only at what people intended, but also looks at what a reasonable person would have thought in the circumstances. So it's not relevant, really, that someone didn't intend to harass. You need to ask whether a reasonable person in those circumstances should have known that the behavior was unwelcome or offensive.
But how difficult is it to separate over-friendly behavior from sexual harassment? Or do you think there is a real difference?
I think there is a real difference. I think that we should start from an assumption, for example, that women don't go to work expecting, and they shouldn't expect, to be touched or to be hugged or kissed or tickled. And if we start from that assumption, then I think that it's pretty easy then to step back and think about what a reasonable person would expect and what a reasonable person would think would be offensive or unwelcome in the workplace.
So what's the test, or, you know, is there a hard test to decide when behavior crosses the line?
I don't think there's a hard test. I mean, certainly there's behavior that on its face, without doing much analysis, is inappropriate. And I would include in that unwanted touching of a sexual nature. And I think that some circumstances require a bit more thinking about what the context is. But in a lot of these cases, we're hearing about women who are at work or at social events related to work where they're required to be. And I think that a reasonable person in those circumstances wouldn't expect to be subject to things like unwanted or unsolicited touching.
You know, but if I have this conversation with women of my age, we will inevitably swap stories of similar things that have happened to us, but we didn't speak out about it. Is it because we have different standards today? Has the line moved? Or is it that women are simply feeling more empowered to speak up and call this out?
I think it's that some women in some circumstances are feeling more empowered. As women know, it's very hard to speak out about sexual harassment in the workplace, especially when we're talking about women who are in a power imbalance with the person that they're alleging harassment, where their job or their reputation or advancement or references depend maybe on that person or that person's colleagues in the workplace. It's very difficult. And, you know, until recently maybe, and probably continuing in many workplaces, women fear being blamed for the behavior. They fear not being believed. And so there have been and still are a lot of barriers to women complaining. And yes, I think that the change we're seeing is a bit of a shift in power between the people who are alleged to have harassed and the women who are victims of that behavior.
Many people say, though, that it's unfair to judge behavior from 10 years ago by today's standards. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I find that a little bit difficult to understand because I and many others have been providing training to employers and managers about sexual harassment in the workplace and employers' obligations to protect women from sexual harassment for years, if not decades. And so the type of things that we would train and educate employers and managers on years and years ago would be the same things we train and educate on now. So I don't think I don't think the legal standards have changed. What has changed is that I think there's more acceptance in society of looking at the victim's perspective and looking at what a reasonable person would think from this perspective of the women who are being harassed.
What do you think of the comments that are being said that men aren't getting due process here, that their careers are being ended on the basis of allegations, that they're being tried through Twitter? What do you think of that?
Well, I do think that due process is an important point to make. In the training that I do for employers and managers, it's one of the basic tenets that when an employer becomes aware of an allegation of sexual harassment or has a reasonable basis for thinking that it's occurring, that that they make sure that they adhere to procedural fairness. Just because somebody's accused of sexual harassment doesn't mean that they, for example, automatically lose their job. But I think what we also in the public have to realize is that employers should and are properly taking into account the fact that the confidentiality of the victim in these circumstances is extremely important. It's extremely important not only to the victim, but also to provide an atmosphere of trust for other people who might be experiencing sexual harassment, and you need to make sure that they feel comfortable coming forward and that their confidentiality is not going to be breached. So we have to understand, I think, in the public that we don't always have all of the details.
These allegations have moved through Hollywood, through the media, now politicians. What are you expecting next?
Well, I don't think that the disclosures are going to stop. In many, if not most, of the cases we're hearing in the media, women are coming forward years, if not decades later, right, when they probably feel that they're not as vulnerable and they have a little bit more power to speak out. And I think, therefore, that, women are going to continue to come out and disclose what's happened to them in the workplace. I do think, though, that what we're seeing is women who are in relatively privileged positions compared, for example, to women who are in precarious work, women who don't have job security, women who might be experiencing poverty. So I think that the disclosures and the Me Too movement will only reach so far, and that as a society we're really going to have to insist and force employers to live up to their human rights obligations.
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you for talking to us.
Okay, thanks, Normalyn.
Gail Gatchalian is a labor, employment, and human rights lawyer and a partner at Pink Larkin in Halifax.